Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Great to have you as we move into our 5 o'clock hour. We've got plenty coming up for you this hour. Matt Maiocco checks in at 5:30. We're going to get the latest on the slow playing of the GM carousel that the 49ers are looking at. And obviously, if they wanted one of the two remaining offensive coordinators in the playoffs who are being listed among the possible candidates, well, they're going to have their choice among the two because everybody else has filled the coaching position. I'm sure we're going to get into that with Mike Silver as well. Mike Silver, one of the best NFL reporters, of course, from NFL Network, is good enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Mike, always good to have you on, brother. What's going on?
Not much, man. Just getting ready for a big weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a big weekend, and we're going to get there. We got an awful lot to talk about, but with all eyes on San Diego, let me just ask you, why would the NFL even want this conversation during playoff week? This whole thing feels hastily rolled out, poorly handled from a PR standpoint. Not that relocation ever lands softly, but this seems so abrupt. We went to bed hearing that they were clearing a path for the Raiders to go to Vegas, and we woke up with the Los Angeles Chargers. It seemed like it happened really fast.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say it happened fast or you could say it happened slow because this was all supposed to be resolved a year ago. And I think the most logical path a year ago coming out of that meeting in Houston for the owners would have been, okay, it's going to be Inglewood, it's going to be Stan Stadium, but it's going to be Rams-Chargers, even though the Chargers had partnered up with the Raiders. The Chargers were so stunned, I think, by that outcome that they wanted to kind of regroup. The charitable thing to say would be they wanted another year to see if they could take one last swing in San Diego and make it work. They had a ballot initiative. It didn't go well. And, look, I'm always sympathetic to the fans who lose a team, and I'm super sympathetic to taxpayers who believe that they have other priorities. In this case, I'm somewhat sympathetic to the Spanoses because I do understand how long and hard they tried to make it work there and really wanted to stay there. And if they just wanted to leave San Diego, they would have left a year ago. So these things always suck. And I'm excited that they hired a coach I really like in Anthony Lynn right around the same time. The news has been fast and furious, but relocation sucks. And if it happens again to the Raiders, then that'll suck too.
Do you think that Mark Davis, in that Wednesday New York City meeting, pivoted to, if Dean isn't taking his first right of refusal to L.A., forget Vegas, we will. And that's why we woke up with the Los Angeles Chargers.
Well, it's a really interesting question. I don't know, but I know that I will say this about Mark, and I've certainly criticized him for a few things here, including talking about disrespect and Oakland, and I thought that was a little over the top. But I do believe Mark, what he's expressed to me is that he wants to deal with these things one at a time and not play off municipalities against each other. And I do believe he's done that. He was focused on Oakland. That didn't go the way he wanted. He focused on L.A. in partnership, or Carson, with Dean Spanos. And then he has focused on Vegas. So if he's true to that, I don't know that he would have then just switched and said, okay, I'll take L.A. Also don't know that the league would have loved that either. On the other, I don't think the league would have wants an L.A. San Diego, although arguably L.A. Vegas is a lot in one, close cluster too. But I think L.A. San Diego is a lot, as great a market as San Diego is. So I don't know. My sense is that Mark is true to what he said. On the other hand, he did look at L.A. before, so it's a very valid question on your end. I'll try to get to the bottom of that when I'm not figuring out coaching moves, coaching staffs, and all the playoff machinations.
I don't ever want to put Mike Silver, the network employee at risk. But I just want to talk to Mike Silver, the football fan, for a second. Can I do that?
Yeah, of course.
We all know as football fans that these pieces, as this game is swirling, just don't fit. Like the Rams in L.A. again, okay, sure. Build your glorious stadium. But if there's going to be two teams in L.A. and the Raiders are seriously dying to move, they should be the other team, for goodness sakes. I mean, it's ridiculous that they wouldn't be, that the NFL wouldn't steer that to happen. There are more Raider fans in L.A. than there are Clipper fans. There are more Raider fans in L.A. than there are Angels fans or Ducks fans. Why is this a game of musical chairs and not something that makes a little more sense?
I don't think – I don't know. I would argue that as a football fan. I mean, the only reason there's – that's because they moved once, which also sucked. I just think – honestly, I grew up in L.A. I think what L.A. wants is something hot. And we can whine about, oh, they didn't really embrace the Rams this year. Yeah, they're playing in the Coliseum and they suck. And there was no excitement around it. And, yeah, they're not excited the Chargers are coming. I know, they're coming off a bad year and they're going to play at like Home Depot. That doesn't sound hot. But guess what? If Sean McVay turns out to be John Gruden 2.0, which, some people believe he is, and Jared Goff thus fulfills his promise, and the Rams start slinging it and winning games, then all of a sudden you're going to be seeing stars and excitement, and L.A. will get into it. And that's L.A., and for better or worse. So, in my opinion, L.A. wants something exciting, relevant, and hot. And that can be any team with the right, group. If you put John Schneider and Pete Carroll and that organization in Seattle, in L.A., it would be as hot as Showtime in the 80s.
If you asked me a year or two ago when we were debating like Ray Rice grainy footage, when we were debating concussions, when we were debating player safety, like what could the NFL ever do to eat itself alive and hurt its own popularity? Mike, I would come up with this. Tinker with fans, tinker with the West Coast, tinker with culture, tradition, and families and rivalries. I think that's a good way to go about hurting popularity.
I will never try to justify franchise movement. I don't think it's a good thing. I think when you sell the dream to fans such as me, your San Francisco 49ers or your let's do a better example. Your Oakland Raiders, and then they're not yours because somebody owns them and they can leave, and you're supposed to buy them a stadium, and which, that's a whole other conversation that I think we as Californians have a very evolved view on. So that sucks. And I know in Europe there are some models where the municipalities themselves actually own the franchise. I don't think the Green Bay Packers could move under the current model, which – it's pretty cool. And, I put a lot of my fan energy into my alma mater, the greatest academic institution on this earth, the University of California, which you are now married into, Damon Bruce.
I will be at Haas on Saturday for a little Cal basketball.
Right. So, listen, one good thing about Cal is they won't move. I mean, we might not go to the Rose Bowl in my lifetime, although I'm a little more optimistic today as we speak that can happen. We may, they may frustrate us a lot, but, we're not going anywhere. So, I get it. It sucks. I will not try to defend the impact on the fan of franchise movement, and I don't think it's a good thing ever.
Do you like the Wilcox rumor? It looks like they're putting that contract finishing touches on it. I think a defensive-minded head coach is exactly what Cal could use. Look, I like Sonny Dykes a lot, but you're going to lose every game 45-43 going forward with him.
Well, I've known Justin Wilcox a long time, I'm really, really excited about him coming. I know that he's close with Tosh LePoy, another guy I know really, really well, who's a proud Golden Bear that I hope will come with him. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, wasn't he like forced, like people wanted him to stay? He was forced out or took a job for more money, and it was a matter of not paying assistants enough, and that's what drove LePoy out?
Well, how much airtime do you have? Because a lot of Cal fans are upset at the way he left. He was in the process. He's a former National Recruiter of the Year who was in the process of assembling what would have been the top class in the country, including Shaq Thompson and Eric Armstead and a bunch of other people.
Yeah,
and he got
Oregon,
he
right?
He got wooed away by Washington, where Justin Wilcox was the defensive coordinator, and his exit was messy, and the class blew up. Now, I know Tosh. There are a lot of reasons why I would defend his decision to leave, dating back to the infamous Oregon injury faking episode where he was somehow scapegoated as if a defensive line coach would somehow order a code red and do something, you know, unilaterally, which is one of the more preposterous things I've ever heard. But I know that the exit was messy. I know that some Cal fans have clung to that. All I can tell you is there's two sides to the story. The guy is amazing. He's a proud Golden Bear who spent 6 years playing and a bunch of years coaching, loves his school, and I want to bring him home, and I hope this happens.
Here's the deal. Doesn't matter if you broke up wrong. If you got a great recruiter, you bring him in if you can. That's how you win football games.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And also, my three-word message to Cal alums who still have hard feelings about it would be, get over it.
Mike Silver, NFL Network. Let's talk a little weekend coming up here. How much does Jordy Nelson's injury hurt Aaron Rodgers' chance of winning a game in Dallas? And by the way, I really like his chances to do that.
Well, listen, last year Jordy Nelson went out, and like a lot of people, I said, well, that's why they got Randall Cobb, and they're paying him like a one. He'll be the one. And guess what? Devontae Adams looks ready to emerge as a great two, and they'll find a three, and it'll be fine. And it wasn't. All year long, it was not fine. However, this year, I was at a game last Sunday where Jordy Nelson went out with the season on the line, and Randall Cobb played like a one. And Devontae Adams played like a great two. And Geronimo Allison, who, you know, most people probably had never heard of watching the game, looked like Devontae Adams 2 years ago. So all of a sudden, I think it's plausible. It's not optimal because they're going to have to score a lot. It's going to be hard for them to stop the Cowboys on the ground. You know, on paper, I would make a case for you that it's a tough game for the Packers. But when I see Aaron Rodgers do these things and get in the zone, it's not, you know, I don't start comparing him to other quarterbacks. I start comparing him to people like Jimi Hendrix, Michael Phelps, and Michael Jordan. And there's your blasphemy for the day.
Look at you, bordering on artistry.
He gets in that zone, and it looks different than anything I've ever seen. And I don't know, man. Nobody wants to play them, and nobody wants to play the Seahawks. So for that reason, they'll probably play each other for the conference title as road victors.
Let's say the Houston Texans get blasted in New England like everyone's expecting. Bill O'Brien, having been back-to-back 9-7 seasons, and he would tell you that he's got a few division titles, but hardly glorious division titles. Might he be fired after a second straight playoff appearance?
Well, I don't think it depends on them getting blasted or losing or even winning. There is a problem there in Houston. In Houston, we have a problem. I was there earlier this week. I sat down with Bill O'Brien. Our conversation will air tomorrow on NFL Game Day morning on NFL Network, which I know you'll all be tuning into, probably around after 1 o'clock. But listen, Bill O'Brien's not a good coach. He's a great coach. This is a guy who went to Penn State in the wake of the Jerry Sandusky scandal, which might be the worst college job ever on paper, and still found a way to win. He is extremely highly regarded in this league. He was, you know, came up under Bill Belichick in New England, but is not like one of these Belichick clones who just tries to, you know, act like a jerk and think they'll win because of it. I got a crowd in the background all fired up. But this guy is his own man. He is he's a hardworking grinder who is not a control freak. And I believe that if there are problems with him and general manager Rick Smith and owner Bob McNair, and there are, that I would point to Rick Smith and Bob McNair as the ones who need to figure out a way to make it work. And if they're stupid enough to fire this guy, I think the 49ers would have immediate interest. That's the job open. I think some teams would think about firing their coach and going and getting him. And more likely, I think he'd sit out a year and be the hottest name on the market going into the next season. So don't cry for Bill O'Brien if they win, lose, or whatever. If Houston's dumb enough to lose them, they're going to regret that.
By the way, with all due respect to the Patriots and Tom Brady, 16 points is a lot to be given that good of a defense on the road. I like Houston and the points. I don't think they win the game. Broncos have hired Musgrave as a quarterback coach. Adam Schefter reporting that today. Did the Raiders err in letting him go, or do you think that Todd Downing is ready to roll?
Well, the Bill Musgrave firing really surprised me. And, you know, I don't know the intricacies, and Todd Downing could be a really good coordinator. That's, you know, we'll see what happens. But when I looked at the Raiders offense this year, I was pretty impressed. And, you know, I wouldn't have thought that would be something that would lead to a firing. But, you know, Bill Musgrave is a really good coach. He interviewed for the Cal job along with a few other people and did interview for the coordinator job in Denver that Mike McCoy is now going to take. So what a coup for the Broncos. You get an untested rookie head coach in Vance Joseph, but you get, you know, one of the top coordinators candidates on the market in Mike McCoy, who was a great coordinator and obviously just was a head coach for 4 years. And then you get Bill Musgrave, who, you know, just did a good job for your rival. So congratulations to the Broncos. I'm surprised by the whole chain of events.
What do you think the 49ers end up doing? Is there a coaching and GM pairing you think fits the bill of what they're looking for, and the two will be announced together when that coach is eliminated from the postseason?
Well, Jed York, you know, has been very willing to wait it out. And there was kind of a game of chicken going with the Rams and 49ers. You know, both had McVay very high on their list, and both were kind of being a little deliberate about it. And then the Rams obviously jumped in with McVay, and now all the coaches are off the market unless Houston opens back up. So Jed's obviously feeling like he's got his pick of the litter. You know, they've been very interested in Josh McDaniels. I know they, you know, tried to talk to Nick Caserio. That didn't work out. Louis Riddick, I think, and Josh McDaniels have ties. You know, there are two GM candidates from the Packers organization that Jed York spoke to, and I reported yesterday on NFL Network. They like Sean McVay so much that they had him call Elliot Wolf and Brian Gutekunst, or at least gave him their numbers and said, hey, call these guys, connect with them, see if you guys form a connection. And now I think you have to look to the north, and if you're the 49ers, with good reason. You know, John Schneider, in my opinion, the best GM in football. You've got two guys under him who are strong candidates, and Trent Kirshner being one of them, Scott Fitter the other. And Trent Kirshner is very, very high on Tom Cable, who has, you know, done a great job as their offensive line coach. So I know a lot of Bay Area fans hear that and freak out. I probably have been the loudest voice criticizing Tom Cable over the last few years, but I would acknowledge that guy has done an incredible job up in Seattle the last few years with that offensive line. He is considered a leader of men, you know, in that organization. So I'm sure Jed York is thinking very hard about that combination too.
Always good to talk to you, Mike. Have a great, great divisional weekend. Hopefully the games are a lot more fun this weekend than they were last weekend. And we always appreciate your time. Go Bears.
All right, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Mike Silver here on the Damon Bruce Show. Great to have him. And, yeah, how about this for a Saturday for me? I'm going to be taping the NFL games. It's the Sunday games, and I'm not leaving my house for it. Sunday games are going to be monsters. Saturday, spending the afternoon at Haas Pavilion, a little Cal. I think they're playing Washington, nice. Washington State, maybe the Cougs. I don't know. I don't even care. Just going to see Cal. Family got tickets, and do you want to come? I said, yes, I do.
That'd be fun.
Going to Haas Pavilion. And then that night, I'm doubling up on college basketball. I'm going with my buddy to the Hilltop for a little USF.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Saturday night.
So
look at you.
College, baby.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Washington State, maybe an appearance by Klay Thompson? Probably not. Probably not. I think, well, look at it this way. Klay's down in Southern California tonight for his high school jersey retirement ceremony. So I doubt he bounces back up here. He's got a long weekend. He's got friends. He's got family. He's got Instagram chicks just crawling all over him in Southern California. Finn, how's your Instagram chick game? Strong? Strong to very strong?
He's just getting started.
He's young. That's right in his wheelhouse, though. Right in his wheelhouse. Electronically flirting was not an option for me when I was in high school. If you wanted to electronically flirt with a girl in school, you like had to throw your calculator at her.
Ouch.
I was like, that's as close as we got to electronic flirting. Hey, get her attention. Throw your calculator at her. 888-957-9570 is the number. I know you got some 49er questions. Like, they going to hire a coach? Are they waiting for the playoffs? If that's what the deal is, they got the pick of the two guys that they supposedly wanted the most. Like, it'll be up to them to choose who they want. Why has it taken so long to hire a GM? You can normally work back channels now, say, call this guy, get to know this guy. Anything feel right? Have the 49ers already made their decision and they're slow playing all of us? We will find out when we talk with Matt Maiocco, who joins me next here on 95.7 The Game. Our buddy Matt Maiocco, he's waiting for us. Always good to talk to him about what's going on with the 49ers. Of course, he covers the Niners for CSN Bay Area. Before we get to San Francisco, though, the coaching search, the GM search, what dots they're trying to connect. Matt, let's just start with this. What do you think of everything that's happened in San Diego this week?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe that, you know, after the vote failed there, I guess you kind of knew that something was going to happen, but it just kind of came out of nowhere, but then didn't come out of nowhere all at the same time. So it's very interesting that yesterday, two Los Angeles teams named head coaches on the same day. And, you know, a day before, that just wasn't at all possible. So it's a very unique situation, and I'm going to miss those trips to San Diego.
Yeah, I think we all will. That's for sure. I mean, I hope that ship hasn't totally forever sailed. I mean, they're already talking about maybe they move back if they don't like it after 2 years. And I don't know.
I don't know how they will like it after 2 years. I mean, I just don't think that L.A. market, you know, as big as it is, they're front runners. You know, you need to be able to win to pack the stadium. And I just don't see two teams packing any kind of stadium, let alone a big stadium. I mean, I think the Chargers will have enough problems putting butts in the seats next year, playing in a 30,000-seat venue like the StubHub Arena or StubHub Center or
whatever the heck it is. Scalped Ticket Stadium is basically what we're calling it. Yeah. Matt, just speaking of the GM coaching search, because we understand that we got candidates who are still alive in the playoffs, and if those are their target candidates, they can't hire them yet. So specifically to the GM search, are the 49ers, do they deserve credit for being so thorough, or can we accuse them of having paralysis by analysis?
You know what I found in talking to a lot of people around the league is that nobody really knows what these personnel people do and how good they are. You know, you talk to scouts who will say, well, you know, I've known this guy for X number of years and he's really bright, but I don't know how much impact he's had on his team's drafts. I think it's a good thing when you talk to more people and you get more a better understanding of what is out there. And, I mean, they have talked to a lot, and they're going to be talking to two more individuals for the GM job, the two guys from Seattle, Trent Kirchner and Scott Fitterer, on Monday. So it's interesting that really the head coaching search is down to – three people, and I would think only two viable candidates. I just think, I mean, Tom Cable is a really tough sell here, especially in the Bay Area. So you're talking about two candidates for the head coaching job, and then you're up around eight or nine candidates to see who will fit best with that person from the GM side. So I would think that it's probably a good thing that they're doing all that due diligence.
I think there is, too. I don't have a problem with it. I think that it'd be a good idea to hire the GM before you hired the coach. And I know that the goal is to have them on the same page, which, you know, the Niners tout like it's an idea that they've come up with. Like, no duh, guys. Of course you want these guys on the same page. And the way I see it is they've invested so much time in this that all back channels are officially open here to connect dots from coaches still coaching to candidates you're interviewing. So let me ask you, Matt, what dots can you connect between coaches still coaching and GMs they would work well with? What do you think the Niners' wish list is?
Well, it's tough to say what their wish list is because, you know, going into this, I kind of thought that Josh McDaniels was going to be at the top of the list, and nothing I've heard or seen has swayed me off of that. But I do think that Kyle Shanahan is a legitimate potential candidate for this, or legitimate possibility. And the guy they interviewed today for the GM spot, Terry McDonough, I think is one of the guys that kind of pairs with Shanahan. So if they decide that Shanahan and Josh McDaniels are pretty darn close and that Terry McDonough is better than any of the other GM candidates they've talked to, wouldn't it surprise me at all to see that McDonough-Shanahan combination. If you look at McDaniels, I think Louis Riddick is a guy who would be with McDaniels, as well as Elliot Wolf being a guy who'd be with McDaniels. And then you have some guys that I've heard are attractive to the 49ers regardless of who the coach is. And those guys would be Brian Gutekunst with the Packers, George Payton with Minnesota, and then one of the guys they're interviewing on Monday, Trent Kirchner, is somebody that I think the 49ers are high on without, you know, having talked to him yet. They think that maybe he's a guy who has the right personality, the right temperament to be able to coexist with either one of those head coaches.
Matt Maiocco here on the Damon Bruce Show. Let's say it is Kirchner. Like, let's say that's the name they land on, and Kirchner wants Tom Cable. Would they hire a tough sell head coach to go along with their first choice GM?
It would be tough. I think that's why if it's close with the head coach, then the GM is the difference. If it's close with the GM, then the head coach is the difference. In other words, I don't think they're going to take, you know, the best head coach in their minds and the best general manager in their mind if they don't think that the personalities will mesh. So if it's close, you know, if there's a wider distance between the head coach, the two head coaches, or a wider distance between the two general managers that they have listed at the top, then I think they'll go with whichever one of those it is. I know that's kind of a complicated answer, but it that seems to be the way they're heading, that they're not putting necessarily the head coach over the general manager or the general manager over the head coach. They just want the best team, the best combination of two guys working together.
I got someone here on the text line saying, keep it real, Damon. Nobody wants the Niners job. No, these are still very rare. Somebody is going to want this job. I can promise you that, even given all the headaches that feel built in with Jed York and Parag Marate. Did the Niners' excitement in McVay get him the Rams job, or certainly help anyways?
I think it did. You know, the Rams were set to interview Kyle Shanahan. Josh McDaniels. It was Shanahan. Yeah, they were going to interview him, but they couldn't make it to Atlanta because of the weather to talk to him. So he was on their list, and, you know, something happened there that they decided that, you know, we don't need to talk to Kyle Shanahan to get this thing going with Sean McVay. So I don't think the 49ers were anywhere near being close to offering Sean McVay a contract, because I do believe that the guys at the top of their list were and always have been McDaniels and Shanahan. I do think that McVay was very impressive and got to the point where they were thinking, wow, you know, is this guy honestly, at 30 years old, a solid candidate for this job. But I think what the 49ers have tried to do is they wanted to get what they thought was the best guys, regardless of when those people had become available. And I do think that Kyle Shanahan or Josh McDaniels will end up taking that job, and that neither one of them is going to be scared off by what's happened with the 49ers in the past.
Is anyone going to be scared off by Trent Baalke's recent resume? Where do you think he resurfaces? I very much doubt he extends to anyone a personal sit down to air all grievances. It just doesn't feel like his Trent's style.
Yeah, you mean where his next job will be?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like if you wanted to sit down for an exclusive, like what really went wrong with Harbaugh and the Niners, like he'll never tell that story. He'll never write the biography that airs, you know, that clears the air on what ended so poorly.
No, I don't think so either. And, you know, where he ends up next, I mean, a couple weeks left in the season, and I was hearing that he was all but a done deal. He was going to end up in Denver. And several people told me that. And since then, someone else has told me, no, it's not going to be Denver. I think he'll end up somewhere, you know, whether he's coaching with Jacksonville or in the scouting department of some other organization. I think where he's best is as a scout. You know, he's a grinder. He likes to be on the road. He likes to spend his time in rental cars, and I don't think that him being in an office and being the face of a franchise is necessarily something as a general manager that he ever felt comfortable doing. So I think, you know what, I think Trent Baalke has value to an organization because of what he can do as a scout. I think there are clearly some blind spots in his scouting if he were the guy who's making the final call. But he'll end up back in the NFL somewhere.
Matt Mann, always good to talk to you. Hopefully when we do it next week, we no longer have a list of names. We actually have a coach and a GM to talk about. Maybe not the coach, if the coach is still coaching, but maybe at least a GM to talk about, and we can start looking at what the plan will be, not just who might be in the plan. Always a pleasure, though, my friend. Enjoy the weekend.
I appreciate it, and I do believe that once the general manager is in place, the head coach will be fairly obvious.
I look forward to that, because a little clarity is something the Niners could really use these days. Thanks, Matt.
All right, D-Bruce. Talk to you next week.
The Cobra, Matt Maiocco, striking here, as always, on 95.7 The Game. I thought we would take a couple calls before the end of the hour at 888-957-9570. We've been deep into football all hour. So, Golden State Warriors and some comparisons to an all-time great, to a current Warrior made by the coach and the player himself. That's next on 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're certainly happy to take some calls between now and 6:30. At 6:30 tonight, what we've got is Greg Brady stopping on by. No. Not that Greg Brady.
Shannon Marsha coming too?
No. Greg Brady covers the NFL for the BBC, so we're going to ask him a little bit about football's popularity overseas, and we're going to forget about the Chargers for just a minute. At 6 o'clock, Darren Smith joins us. He has been holding a funeral all week long for the city of San Diego, and we will get a firsthand account of the Chargers leaving. That's at 6 o'clock. Greg Brady at 6:30. Your phone calls at 888-957-9570. Want to spend a few more minutes on the Warriors, because we got a lot of football coming up. We've had a lot of football already today, and obviously next week for the Warriors is just going to be a monster. Cleveland Cavaliers on Monday, matinee game, whole world's going to be watching Oracle Arena on Monday night. On Wednesday next week, you got Oklahoma City coming into town, and by Friday, you're in Houston taking on the Rockets. I think, truly, the team that scares me even a little bit more than San Antonio. I think the Houston Rockets, with the way that they're playing offense right now, that's a team you got to worry about. You got to worry about James Harden, who's putting up monster numbers. Under Mike D'Antoni. It's going to be a very interesting week for the Warriors. They go 3-0 next week. They can throw this sucker back on the cruise control right up until about 5-10 games left in the regular season, and they want to ratchet it up again. Like, they sweep this upcoming week, it's going to be a real, real, real fun season, I think, for everybody. It's already pointing in that direction. Some would say that the fun at Oracle Arena isn't quite what it used to be. Some would say that the fans aren't as passionate as they used to be, and that the real fans have been priced out. Look, if you were a real fan and you were there, and you're still screaming like before they won a title, like before they won 73 games, you are wired in a way that very few humans are. It's hard to stay hungry when you've been very, very well fed. And Warrior fans, after all those years of suffering, got an unbelievable amount of success just thrown at them. It's almost an overwhelming amount of success. They have not, all the great fans have not been priced out. That's not why it's a little quieter in there. It's a little quieter in there because there's now different standards through which you watch a Warrior game. There is a different prism that you look at this team through than you used to. Let's face it, the Golden State Warriors have a list of problems that are a list of problems other NBA teams spend their entire years building towards. Like, you wish you had the Warriors' problems. The Warriors' problems are what happen when you had a have a glut of talent and you're trying to make it all fit together. The crowd might take off a little bit earlier in the fourth quarter than it ever has, but they're normally up by 20 in the fourth quarter, so that probably explains it more than, well, these fans just don't care anymore. No, they care to beat a little traffic home. So, you know, you can say it's bandwagon. You can say it's all true fans have been replaced by all these false fans. No, it's not that simple arithmetic. There's a lot of things that are going into what is Oracle Arena right now. And last night at Oracle Arena, it might have got as loud as it got all season long when Ian Clark hit back-to-back threes.
Marjanovic catches up top, hand off to Johnson, rotates over to Morris. Morris. Pass over to Hilliard. He'll go baseline up and under. Blocked inside by Draymond or McGee. Draymond comes up with the ball. Draymond accelerates to the paint. Throws right wing. Clark for three. Got it! Draymond Green made that play. Curry comes up and steals the ball from Morris. Dribbles in. Takes it middle. Throws to Clark. Clark open. Fires and hits again! Ian Clark with back-to-back threes. The Warriors lead by seven.
It was loud in there when that happened. People excited for Ian Clark. Curry, he was aggressive and was getting off great shots early. He was turning the ball over a little early, too. But, I mean, he's got a release on him that nobody else in basketball's ever had. He's so unique. He's so much fun to watch. Draymond Green is unique and fun to watch. He's a guy that has a really just a diverse skill set. He could defend better than anybody. He can defend five positions. He is a consummate floor general, the way that he can push the ball and pass the ball. He is certainly more offensively inclined than Dennis Rodman ever was, but Green is such an agitator out there. He is such a you-know-what disturber that you can't help but be reminded of Dennis Rodman when it comes to rebounding, defensive intensity. Offensively, he's light years ahead of Rodman. But Kerr admits there is a comparison to make.
He's got a little Dennis Rodman in him. Not as crazy as Dennis, but you know, he's a great rebounder. He's got a good feel. Dennis always had a great feel for the game. That was an underrated aspect of his game. And he wasn't nearly as crazy as he made himself out to be, but the competitive desire is very similar. You know, what made Dennis who he was his competitiveness. He just got after it and wanted to get under people's skin. And you know, Draymond's got some of that in him. I mean, he wants to dominate the game emotionally, and it's a great trait to have. And you have to have guys like that, just competitive. Freaks, just guys who want to just win desperately, and that's Draymond.
I'll tell you, competitive freak is probably the single best description of Dennis Rodman I've ever heard, And it does apply to Draymond in many, many, many ways. It does. Draymond goes out there with a chip on his shoulder and something to prove each and every night. That's why he generates enemies. Yeah, you know, people are like, I can't stand the way he plays. Yeah, because he's not playing for you. That's why. He's the Warriors' Darth Vader, and the only way you root for Darth Vader is if you're in the Empire. That's it. If you're a rebel, you're not rooting for him. Draymond Green, of course, walked into the same press conference where he was compared by his coach to Dennis Rodman and then got asked about that.
It's an honor, you know, to be compared to somebody like Dennis Rodman, who, you know, is a Hall of Famer. His jersey's retired in Detroit, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's retired in Chicago. You know, I can only hope those things happen in my career, you know, and obviously continue to work and try to, you know, reach some of those things. But the championships that he's won, I can, you know, those are the things that I want to do. So to be compared to a guy like that, you know, is an honor, because it's not because neither one of us was outstanding scorers. You know, it's all about hard work, will, determination, you know, a never say die attitude, you know. So, I mean, I'm, like I said, honored to be compared to someone like that.
From the text line, got a guy here who says, DB, I'm sorry, but you sound ridiculous. Of course the reason why the fan base changed is because they've been priced out. No other reason. No, you're wrong. Again, just because you can type it doesn't mean you're right. I am in that building more than you. I don't know what your name is. If you want to prove to me how many times you've been to Oracle Arena since 2005, go ahead. I've been there hundreds of times. I have consumed hundreds of Warrior games since 2005. And I'm going to tell you that I recognize an awful lot of fans from last night's game that I've been seeing there since 2005. Everyone that is in there and was there for the standing on your feet, screaming at the top of your lungs days is not priced out. There's a lot of fans that I recognize in there every single night. You get to know sections. You get to know where this person is seating. Like, there's at least four or five fans, people that I've never met, that I know that they're there that night or not, because that's their seat. They've been there since 2005.
You've been consistent.
The difference in the Warriors, sure, some of the crowd is changing. Of course, that's part of it. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. But the single biggest reason why the volume has been turned down isn't that the price has been turned up, it's that the stakes have been turned up. And regular season wins don't mean as much as they used to. The Warriors don't even get to step on the stage we want to see them perform on until the playoffs start. Stop telling me about the sporting event I'm at. Really? Like, that's amazing. I watched it on TV, therefore, I'm the expert. I'm not saying I'm the expert, but I am telling you, I was there. I was there. Damon, a lot of us have been priced out. I'm sorry you've been priced out. Save your money, and instead of going to 10 games, go to 3. And make as much noise as you can when you're in there. Let me ask you, how much noise will you be making when the Warriors are up 30 with 6 minutes to play? Will you be going nuts? Will you just be losing your mind as the Warriors are coasting to another non-competitive finish? Are you going to go bonkers? Are you going to be the guy who's leading your entire section screaming, "Get loud!" when you're up 30 with 4.5 minutes to play? Seriously? You're that guy? I hate that guy. Like, I think it's kind of cool if you got a little act like you've been there before about you now as a fan base. You know, you've won an NBA title. The time to stop rushing the court is right now. The price hike, it's significant. It's there and it's real. And I sympathize with it. But I see a lot of the same people that I've been seeing in there for years and years and years and years and years. The price hike is tough, but would you rather the Warriors suck again and your tickets be affordable? You know, how do you balance that as a fan? More of your calls. A lot of people want to weigh in on this, and we'll get to you right after we say hello to my buddy Darren Smith, who's been holding a funeral for the city of San Diego and sports fans down there for the last 2 days. He joins me as we move into our final hour next.
T T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.